Hello, beloved, and welcome to part 26 of our Bible study in James. No, it's not James. I continue to say James, and it's actually Jude. So, welcome to our part 26 Bible study in Jude. We are still busy with verses 8 to 10, but before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that we can study the book of Jude. Thank you so much that we have your Holy Spirit that enables us to understand things, specifically when we talk about the subject that we're talking about. Father, we pray that you will please open up our hearts to receive that which needs to be received, and our minds to understand that which needs to be understood. But those things that is irrelevant and doesn't have to, Father, we just pray that you remove it and enable me as your servant to please teach your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, Jude, let's read verse 8 to 10 again. It says, likewise, also these dreamers, this is the false teachers now that we've been speaking out for quite some time now. These dreamers defile the flesh, they reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. And this is what we are busy with. The fact that they speak evil of dignitaries, they speak evil of angels, now heavenly beings. Yet, Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring in against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these false teachers, speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. All right, that's a mouthful. But we are busy with the part where we look at the names of Satan. Remember last time we looked at the names of Satan and we didn't get through all of them. So what I would like to do in this Bible study is just continue and let's look at what the Bible tells us about the names of Satan, the names that God has given to the devil. Now the first one we look at today is he is called the God of this age. Now, you will see that the names are going to vary a little bit depending on which translation you use. All right, but the meaning is basically the same. All right, so he's called the God of this age. And the reason why he's called the God of this age is because he controls the minds of people, specifically unsaved people. All right, he cannot control our minds. Our minds have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible teaches us. So the Apostle Paul clearly speaks about others who do not have the mind of Christ. They're speaking about unbelievers, but we have the mind of Christ. Right? So when we think, obviously we're going to sin. We are going to think bad thoughts. We're going to think of things that are not God-honoring. Obviously, there are times that it might happen. But the Holy Spirit will immediately convict us. The Holy Spirit will immediately tell us that that's not right. And we will correct our wrong behavior. Right, but Satan, being called the God of this age, he controls the minds of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says the following. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. All right, so Paul speaking about the gospel that is veiled, which means it's covered. He says it is covered to those who are perishing, those who are going to be, who's not going to be saved, those who are unsaved. He says in verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. That's why they veiled. That's why they cannot see, because the God of this age, which we know is Satan, what he has done is he has blinded them. He has blinded them who do not believe, he says, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So what Satan does is, he basically places a veil over people's minds. And listen, that could be through propaganda, worldly propaganda. If you watch a lot of movies, if you watch a lot of news, if you watch listen to a lot of worldly things, Satan uses that to veil our minds, to kind of cover our minds, all right? And he does it effectively with the people who are unsaved, obviously, because this is what Paul is speaking about. But we are warned not to be involved with the things of this world. Why? Because those things has an influence on us. Because it has an influence on our minds. Because the minds of the people of this age, those who are perishing, the God of this age has blinded them. All right. So that they will not see the light of the gospel, of the glorious Christ, a glory of Christ, and then so it can shine on them. And basically, when the gospel shines onto somebody's heart, it reveals the corruptness of that person's heart. It shows what kind of heart that person has, because the gospel does not only include the good news about Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, who was buried and rose again from the grave. No, what happens is Jesus Christ died, was buried and rose again because of sin. All right, so sinners need to be confronted with the fact that we are all sinners on our way to hell. And listen, beloved, we are all included. We should never ever think of ourselves as people who are without sin. That's not true. Christ was without sin. We are not good. Only God is good. All right, so this is very, very important. So what Satan does is, as the God of this age, he controls the minds of people, those who are not saved. All right, so that the gospel will not shine on them and reveal their sin, and they turn to faith, by faith to Jesus Christ, unto salvation. All right, so, and Satan is doing it worldwide. Okay, so this propaganda, this deception from the devil is worldwide. And we only have these two sides. We have God's side, and we've got Satan, the God of this age, who blinds the mind of people so that they will not hear the gospel. And then we have God, in spite of Satan blinding the unsaved, God comes, and the light of the gospel shines into that heart. The Holy Spirit enlightens the soul so that the person can see the truth of the gospel and then turn by faith to Jesus Christ, because it's the Holy Spirit who gives that person rebirth and gives that person the faith so that they can believe on the gospel and believe on Jesus Christ. The rest of humanity, mankind, those who have not been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, they are all in darkness. They are all being blinded. They have a veil over them. The gospel is veiled to them. All right. So Satan is called the God of this age. But it tells us a lot about Satan, doesn't it? All right, now, the next name that we see in Scripture that kind of tells us something about Satan is Morning Star. And the Morning Star, if you look at the Morning Star, it's a very bright star. No? It reflects something of beauty. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, this is how Lucifer is described. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Other translations call him the morning star. Now we know Jesus Christ is the morning star. Now he is the ultimate, because he is the most beautiful of all. But it's interesting how Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, prophesies and says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. It speaks about Satan's fall, from this place of beauty. He was something of beauty, now he is fallen, now he is evil. Now he's called the God of this age, but he's the one who blinds the people's minds. He's the one who veils people. He's the one that prevents people from the gospel shining on them. But in spite of that, God still does it. So this is a beautiful name, but it describes Satan before the fall. Right? He was called the Morning Star, or the Son of the Morning. But then he's also called Murderer. Because what he does is he leads people to eternal death. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 44. It says, you are of your father the devil. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders of the day. Nah? You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. That's quite an accusation to give. Huh? You are of your father the devil. Why? because you want to do what your father desires. Okay, now you must listen very carefully, because Satan is called a murderer. We're going to see it now. But those who follow after Satan, they want to do what their father desires, and their father is the devil. Satan is the father of those who are unsaved. And then Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning. And the fact that he was a murderer from the beginning, if you read commentaries, it can refer to one of two things. It can refer either to the fact that Satan is a murderer in the sense that he kind of tempted Cain to kill his brother Abel. No? In that sense, he's a murderer from the beginning. Or it could go even earlier, when he tempted Adam and Eve to sin against God, and a kind of a spiritual death came into them. Now, they were separated from God. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And all of a sudden, there was no more communion between them and God. So a spiritual death that came over them. And then we read in Ephesians chapter 2 that God is the one who makes us alive, who were dead in our trespasses and sins. So he's a murderer from the beginning, in the sense that he deceived Adam and Eve to believe the lie. And then Adam and Eve were disobedient to God. And at the end of the day, it caused spiritual death to them. They died spiritually. Something inside of them died. That something that had a desire for God was just no longer there. All right, so he was a murderer from the beginning. This is Satan, obviously. And it says in John 8:44, it says, and does not stand in the truth. Oh, so he's a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Beloved, listen very carefully. There is no truth in Satan. When Satan opens up his mouth, or Satan inspires his workers, they will always speak lies. Whenever you see lies, you can know that the source of those lies are from temptation of Satan, because he leads people to eternal death, and he does it through lies, and he does it through spiritual murder. Jesus continues, he says, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Actually, the Greek actually tells us he's speaking from himself. He's speaking from his own nature, his own character. That's who he is. So when he speaks a lie, that's who he is. And then it says, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. He's the source, if I may, of all lies being told in this world. Obviously, we can tell lies, but Satan tempts us to tell lies. You know how many people, instead of just telling the truth when they've messed up, they will concoct a lie. They will tell a lie. And then they come up with this whole idea of, oh, no, you know what? There's such a thing as a little white lie. So you don't tell the truth. You lie. Instead of speaking the truth, but you call it a white lie because it didn't really hurt anybody else to just say it. No. The father of all lies is the devil. But he is also a murderer from the beginning. That's why he tries to keep people in bondage. He tries to keep people in their spiritual dead state, so that they can die and be eternally dead. Die for all eternity. All right, so he's also called murderer. But then he's also called the prince of demons, or the ruler of the demons. That's another name that he is called, because he rules over the demons. Mark chapter 3 verse 32 tells us, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he cast out demons. Remember that Jesus cast out demons out of this man that was mute for since birth. And they said, no, this is Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons, the lord of the flies. Yeah? That's what Beelzebub is. So he's called the ruler of the demons. So Satan has a kind of a kingdom. Yeah? That's why his kingdom can be divided in itself. Because he's the one who rules over all the fallen angels. Because demons are nothing other than fallen angels. Right, so that's what he is called. The ruler of the demons, or the prince of demons. But he's also called the prince of this world. That's another name that is given to Satan. Because as the prince of this world, he actually rules in the minds of people. Okay, John chapter 12, verse 31 says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." What was Jesus referring to? Oh, he was referring to the fact that him, being Christ, being the one who is the most powerful, who can cast out demons, now he will start casting out this ruler. He will start casting out the ruler of this world. All right? That's what he would start doing. And obviously, you would see in the ministry of Christ how many demons he cast out of people. But when the disciples started their ministry, Jesus gave them authority over the demonic world. Né? And they could cast out these demons because Satan is the prince of the demons and he is the prince of this world. So what he does is he basically gives his demons charge to go and take possession of people. Christ came to set people free. All right, so in that sense, he is cast out. All right, the ruler of this world, because Satan is the ruler of this world. How does he rule? He doesn't rule apart from people. No, he rules through people. All right, and then we also see that he is a roaring lion. A roaring lion. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says it so beautifully. And why is he called a roaring lion? Because he wants to hurt and to kill. Listen to 1 Peter 5, 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Be on the lookout. Be watchful. Be alert. Okay, be awake. Because your adversary, the devil, the one that stands against us." Why does Satan stand against us? Why are we his enemies? We are his enemies because he hates God. And because we belong to God, he hates us. And the way he gets to God is through us. Okay? So, and this is what Peter says. He says, "Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." This is kind of a description of Satan. He's not a roaring lion, but he's like a roaring lion. Eh? A simile, he's like a roaring lion, "seeking whom he may devour." Because he wants to hurt and destroy people. Okay, if a lion gets hold of an animal and he devours that animal, nothing is left of that animal. And let me tell you, we can see that in the lives of so many people, how Satan just completely destroys people's lives. It is so heartbreaking. But that's exactly what happens. All right, so be sober, be vigilant. Okay. Last one, and there's some more. I'm not going to get to all of them again, I see. Is the ruler of the air. He's called the ruler of the air. It's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, listen to this. He says, "In which you walked according to the course of this world." He says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins," in verse 1. And then he says, "And you have now, you walked in accordance to the course of this world." So you followed after the things of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. So you were led. You walked. You followed in the footsteps of the prince of the power of the air. You followed in the footsteps of Satan, the ruler of the air, the prince. All right, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Before we were saved, Satan worked in us. So every single person on this planet who is not saved, Satan and his demons are working in those people. Beloved, that's heartbreaking to say. It's heartbreaking to hear. But that's the reality of the world that we live in. It is under control of the prince of the power of the air. He works in unbelievers. And let me tell you, we try and we think that we can think the best of people and expect the best of people. No, we can't. Unbelievers are being controlled by the devil. Yes, do they have some resemblance of good? Of course they have. Do they have certain things that they are being, how can I say, controlled not to do certain things? Yes, God's restraining grace controls a lot of things. But let me tell you, when people get freedom to do whatever they want, oh, the real colors come out. When the restraint is removed, they do whatever they want. Because they are under the power of the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the air, Satan himself. Right, so again, a few names that we read about in Scripture about who Satan is. All right, God willing, next time we will look at some more and then conclude, because I think next time we'll be able to conclude. But I hope we see something of the character of who Satan is, something of the character and his nature, and so that we can be alert, so that we can know. Remember, we don't hear these things so that we can feel good about ourselves. Oh, I know something about Satan, I need to know more about him. No, so that we can withstand his temptations, so that we can stand strong in our faith in Christ and know how he works. We're not ignorant of his devices. All right, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, thank you that we can come to you again. Thank you for revealing in your word who our enemy is. And Father, thank you that we can know that Christ conquered death and sin and Satan, and that we are on the victory side because we are victors in Christ and through Christ. Thank you that you have saved us. Thank you that you've cleansed us from our sin. And thank you that you are the one who protects us from Satan. Father, thank you that we can learn and get to know our adversary, because he is the one who stands against us. And there's so many things that we can see how he works. So we pray for your protection over us, please, Father. We pray that you will open up our eyes and ears to see and to hear, so that at the end of the day we may be able to stand firm in our faith. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you very much for listening, watching. May the Lord be with you. May he guide you, protect you. May his hand be upon you, and may he give you his peace during this week to come. Until God willing, next time, bye-bye.